God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Have you ever been the smartest person in the room? Yeah, me neither. Maybe you have. But even when I was a counselor, I used to have junior campers, elementary age campers in my cabin at camp. And I don't know that I ever felt like I was definitely the smartest person in the room. I had some pretty clever junior campers in my day. The bottom line is that most of us haven't, and those who feel like they are the smartest person in the room probably are a menace and a little bit self-deceived. Having said all of that, Solomon was a man who literally was the wisest ruler in any given room. Now, Solomon was not just merely wise, he was wise in a specific way, the way for which he'd asked for wisdom, and that was wisdom to guide God's people. The fact of the matter is his father David was a wonderfully wise man, and if you just looked at the narratives of David's life and Solomon's life, you might think, well, David was wiser, Solomon was wiser. You might leave that up to your own judgment. However, the Bible makes it very clear that there's never been a wiser ruler than Solomon. That's the wisdom that God had given him. So who would ever give Solomon counsel? Who would ever give Solomon advice? To whom would Solomon ever listen? I mean, it'd be kind of a miserable life, would it not, in which you were always the wisest person and you never had anyone to whom you could listen for instruction? And yet, you come to 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and you find something interesting. What do you find? Well, chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem." This was a magnificent temple, and Solomon was the man that was building or leading in the construction of it. How did he build it? Verse 3 says, "Now these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God." So what follows is a lot of detail on the construction of the temple. And the Bible says Solomon was instructed. I mean, who would have the gall, who would have the moxie to presume to instruct or advise Solomon? Well, the answer is his dad. In chapter 2, verse 7, the last few words say, "Whom David," Solomon is speaking, "whom David, my father, did provide." David had provided provisions, David had provided people, and he had provided a blueprint. In fact, the Bible says, in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, "Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern." God gave it to David. David gave it to Solomon. And you read of it several times in 1 Chronicles, I should say, 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Again, in verse 19 of 1 Chronicles 28, the Bible says, "All this," said David, "the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." That is to say, that David was not wiser than Solomon as a monarch, although he was a great monarch, of course. But he gave Solomon instruction nonetheless, instruction in this case that God had directly given to him. But here's a larger point that I think we can all take, whether you're a parent or you are a child, all right? And that is that you are never too old to be a parent or too wise to be a son. Here's King Solomon, wisest ruler that ever lived, and yet in Proverbs 31, by way of example, the king says that his mother gave him instruction. You know, even a king can fall to his vices, and even a king can learn from his mother. And King Solomon did both. Now, to be sure, a parent's relationship to his child does change with age. So I don't deal with an 8-year-old child the same way I deal with an 18-year-old child. But I'm still dad, and my child is still my child. Look, I have parents, and they are now grandparents, and I have been a father myself for many years. But I still have not outgrown my privilege and my obligation to honor my parents. So there's obedience, there's honor, then there's counsel. So obedience. I no longer am accountable to my dad and mom the way I was when I was in their house. But I never outgrow my obligation to honor. Now, one step beyond that is, you know, I'm never too wise to receive counsel from my mom or dad. Maybe they're not perfect. Maybe your parents aren't perfect. Maybe they don't know the Lord, but they're still your parents. God has still put them in that position. And so you are left with one of three metrics by which to decide how you deal with children and parents. One is maturity, which is to say a young person gets to such a point where you just say, hey, they no longer need a dad or mom. Well, apparently Solomon never got to that point because He was following instructions his dad had given him even after his dad was dead. So maturity is not authoritative enough. I mean, how do you, you know, that is so subjective. How do you determine when maturity has been reached for a child no longer needs a parent? What we often do in our country is we have some arbitrary age, namely 18 years of age or 21 years of age, and we say, hey, you're 18, I'm not responsible for you anymore, your life is on your head. And we just kind of kick our kids to the curb. Now, I don't think we should patronize them as if they're a little child anymore, but we still have an obligation to be their parent. I mean, 18, that is a modern American cultural norm. Now, it may have some utility to it, but what authority does 18 have or even 21 have? Just because someone can vote or someone can drink or someone can drive, does that mean they're no longer are under any obligation to their parents? There's one more metric by which you might judge the relationship of a parent and child, and it's one to which you might object, and that's fine. You can think about it. You can see what the Bible says. But I think we need to do that, and that is marriage. The Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. You see, at marriage, a new authority structure is set up. In Proverbs chapter 5, you find that a young man is protected from adultery by the wisdom of a father, and a married man is protected from adultery by the love of his wife. In both cases, it is the structure of the institution of the home that God has established. And that's why it's very important, especially perhaps a person is out of college, out of high school, he's 21, 22, 23. So he's out of the house of his parents, but he's not established his own house, her own house. There's not a new authority structure. There needs to be real care because you're kind of stuck in the middle. Now, again, you may be 18, you may be 21, but I believe authority comes by the institutions that God has ordained. In this case, we're talking about the home. So while a 25-year-old who's single may not have the exact same relationship to his parents that he had when he was five, there is authority from his parents that can protect him and guide him in life. The bottom line, and this is something for which you and I ought to both look and consider and study the Bible instead of just going off half-cocked according to our own feelings and what we see in our modern culture, and that is this: you are never too old to be a parent, and you are never too wise to be a son.